Good morning. My name is Joanna, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Converge Technology Solutions Corp. Second Quarter Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star, then the number two. Thank you. Marianne Pelangio, Chief Financial Officer, you may begin your conference.
Thanks, Joanna. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. Your main hosts today are Sean Main, President and Chief Executive Officer, and myself. Before we begin, I'm required to provide the following statement with respect to forward-looking information, which is made on behalf of Converge and all of its representatives that are on this call. All statements made on this call will contain forward-looking information. The actual results could differ materially from a conclusion, forecast, or projection in the forward-looking information. Certain material factors or assumptions were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or a projection as reflected in the forward-looking information. Additional information about the material factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from the conclusion, forecast, or projection in the forward-looking information and material factors or assumptions that were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or projection as reflected in the forward-looking information are contained in Converge's filings with the Canadian Provincial Securities Regulators. Converge does not undertake to update any forward-looking statements. Such statements only speak as of the date made. Today's discussion also refers to adjusted EBITDA, which is a non-IFRS measure and has no standardized meaning. Please refer to Converge's filings with the Canadian Provincial Securities Regulators for an explanation and reconciliation to IFRS measures. I will now turn the call over to your host, Mr. Sean Main, CEO of Converge.
Thank you, Marianne. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to participate on today's call. Yesterday afternoon, we reported yet another very strong quarter of Converge as we continue to execute our strategy of acquiring value-added resellers, or VARs, and converting them into software-enabled hybrid IT service providers, or ITSPs. This is a strategy that has proven to be an effective business model as more and more enterprises are transitioning to cloud-based IT solutions. As we have seen in prior quarter results, and especially in our Q2 results, software and managed services continue to represent a larger and larger portion of our revenue, resulting in higher margins. At our current trajectory of organic growth and acquisitions, we believe phase two of our strategy, of which we will achieve a revenue and EBITDA run rate of $1 billion to $1.5 billion, gross revenue, and $35 to $55 million of EBITDA, respectively, will be complete by the end of 2019. I'd like to take this opportunity to discuss some operational updates and the industry as a whole. As reflected in our numbers this quarter, we continue to see growth in both revenue and adjusted EBITDA, reflecting the operational leverage we are establishing by housing companies under the Converge brand and unlocking value. Since we started Converge, the low-hanging fruit that we wanted to target were the rebates and market development funds, or MDF, from vendors we would be able to offer companies by combining revenues and certifications. I am pleased to report today that we have been successful in managing this strategy as we are now on a trajectory to have $6 million in rebates and $2 million in market development funds for 2019. I am particularly proud of the market development funds because this shows the investments our large OEM partners are making in our growth and partnership. We have a unique relationship with our main distribution partner who continues to be aligned with our success. To date, they have provided us with $21 million in financing to help secure acquisition targets and continues to provide funding to execute our business plan. As well, they have provided the option to increase our payable terms intra-quarter up to 90 days to assist in any swings in our collateral base as we move to end-of-quarter software sales. As I had mentioned earlier, software and managed service contracts continue to represent a larger portion of our revenue base, with software sales representing 20% of our 2019 year-to-date revenue, up from 15% in Q1. I would also like to point to the increase in our gross margins that we saw on a quarterly and six-month basis as reflecting the success of our strategy. Now north of 22%, it is clear that software and managed services revenue remains a key component of our strategy going forward, and we expect additional contributions as we continue to acquire companies while working with our customers to implement more software-based solutions. I'll reiterate that the initial idea behind Converge was the opportunity existed to help businesses transition into their cloud journey, and that software-enabled hybrid IT services providers would become the way of the future. This idea becomes more and more true by the day, and it's clearly reflected by our financial figures. Furthermore, we continue to see signs pointing in this direction from the operational side. We have seen recently a growing number of mid-tier financial service companies taking advantage of our services by implementing new and exciting software services, particularly Red Hat and IBM software. Both Lighthouse and SAS really exceed our expectations and are continuing to outperform our projections in this regard. Recently, we saw a $2.5 million contract with a large full-service mortgage lender. Early in the quarter, we announced a $4.3 million contract with a large financial institution, and our pipeline of multi-million dollar software deals continues to grow. More and more, our long-standing customers, in addition to new clients, are looking to Converge to transition them into the next phase of their cloud journey. Just subsequent to the quarter, IBM closed their acquisition of Red Hat, and we couldn't be more excited about this opportunity that this presents for Converge. As I had mentioned in previous calls, Converge as a Red Hat Apex partner and IBM's third largest reseller is perfectly positioned to capitalize on this opportunity. Now that the acquisition is closed, we anticipate a significant influx of opportunities from IBM and Red Hat, as well as additional market development funds to ensure that we maximize our capabilities in this regard. In fact, we have already received $750,000 from IBM in market development funds as they invest in the growth of this multi-cloud solution enabler. Another point to make note of is although IBM sells its own products directly to customers and through channel partners, Red Hat deals cannot be sold directly by IBM, but must involve a channel partner. This bodes extremely well for Converge, and we are now moving full speed ahead on our Red Hat strategy. This transaction also led us to make another significant operational move in promoting Greg Berard to president of Converge. Strategically, we believe this is a significant milestone for our company as we remain focused on growing the software segment of our business. So why Greg? As some of you may know, Greg was previously the president of Lighthouse, which is where we established our Red Hat relationship. When Greg took over Lighthouse in 2014, approximately 5% of their revenue was driven from software sales. 4 years later, Lighthouse revenue base is comprised of approximately 60% software, directly as a result of Greg's hard work and positioning with clients. With Greg now in the presence role for Converge, we are confident that he will have a similar impact on our software and managed services growth, as his track record proved he is the right man to lead this charge. We are incredibly excited about the relationship and business development experience Greg brings to the table and know that he will be one of the driving forces behind Converge's continued growth. With all of this positive momentum, we are confident that the second half of 2019 will exceed the high expectations we have set for ourselves. We are already seeing tremendous momentum continuing into the third quarter. Our pipeline of acquisitions continues to be strong. While we have already closed two transactions this year, we maintain that our strategy of acquiring 4 to 6 companies per annum is well on track. As I mentioned earlier, I believe this will take us towards the end of our Phase 2 strategy. As we move into Phase 3, we will look to optimize our back office operations through consolidating our systems and integrating our finance, operations, HR, and IT teams. This will provide meaningful benefits to our bottom line. I encourage all of our listeners and shareholders to keep a close eye on Converge for the remainder of 2019. And on that note, I will hand the call over to Marianne Palangio to discuss our financial results.
Thanks, John. As we announced last evening, revenues for the 3 and 6 months ended June 30th, 2019 were $149.3 million compared to revenue of $103.3 million for the same period in 2018, an increase of 44.5%. Revenue for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2019 totaled $314 million compared to $223.1 million for the same period in 2018, an increase of 40.8% year over year. The increase is primarily attributable to the successful integration of our previously announced acquisitions and continued growth in software and managed services revenue as companies continue to recognize the benefit of joining the Converge family of companies. Resulting gross profit was $34.2 million for Q2 2019 compared to $22.3 million in Q2 2018, representing gross margin of 22.9% and 21.6% respectively. Gross profit for the 6 months ended June 30, 2019 was $71.4 million or 22.7% compared to $39.4 million or 17.7% for the same period in 2018. Selling, general, and administrative expenses for the 3 months ended June 30, 2019 were $29.7 million, an increase from $17.7 million the year prior. SG&A for the 6 months period ended June 30, 2019 was $59.3 million compared to $29.4 million the year prior. The increase in SG&A is reflective of our acquisition strategy. As we continue to acquire companies that fit our phase two strategy, we anticipate SG&A to grow reflective of the addition of these new companies. Adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS measure, for Q2 2019 was a gain of $5.5 million compared to $5.3 million for the same period in 2018, an increase of almost 4%. Adjusted EBITDA for the 6 month period ended June 30th, 2019 was $14 million compared to $10.6 million for the same period the year prior, an increase of 32%. Adjusted EBITDA margin for this 6 month period was 4.5% compared to 4.8% for the same period the year prior. As we continue to integrate and see additional software as well as managed service sales, we anticipate a rise in the adjusted EBITDA margin. As at June 30, 2019, the outstanding balance on our loan facility was $80 million. As of June 30, 2019, Converge maintains an unrestricted cash balance of $12.8 million as compared to $10.5 million at December 31, 2018. I'll now turn it back to Sean for his closing comments.
I couldn't be happier with our performance for the mid-year results. $14 million of adjusted EBITDA compares to $15.5 million for the full year last year, reflecting the full impact of having all the acquisitions on board. And with that, I'll just turn over to any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have any questions, please press star followed by one. And your first question is from Kevin Krishnaratne from Paradigm. Please go ahead, Kevin.
Hey there. Good morning and congrats on a good quarter, guys.
Good morning. Good, thank you.
I wanted to talk about the pipeline as it might relate to Red Hat and what you're seeing there with the deal closing. Can you remind us, what do you think the bigger opportunity is? Would that be targeting existing customers or is it opening up new opportunities with brand new customers?
Well, it's both. So great question, but why did IBM pay $34 billion to buy Red Hat? It was because IBM actually, they did themselves a disservice when 3 years ago, they used to only discriminate towards partners that sold IBM. Unfortunately, that meant that the people they were selling to were AS400 or mainframe sales. So they weren't part of, they were part of a very limited part of an IT organization, those conversations. They didn't have an advocate in most of the general conversations, and you've seen it. That's why their cloud never took off. With the Red Hat acquisition, you move yourself into earlier in the cycle to the app developers. So when someone's making an application, they're going to go, this is going to be cloud-enabled. I need to do things differently, and that's where Red Hat comes in, around containers with OpenShift and Ansible, that you're part of that conversation. That's before you choose where you're going to deploy it. And then you make the decision, and before it would have been, you know, I'm going to look at Microsoft Azure or AWS or GCP, you wouldn't have included IBM's cloud product, and there was no advocate to even suggest it. They're going to be involved earlier in the discussion. So when you say those customers that we're going to be introduced to, we might be selling something in today, but not Red Hat. And with Red Hat only having, say, $4 billion of sales, IBM's really looking to double that and it having to go through customers. And again, we did a roadshow with Red Hat and IBM in April, well before this acquisition was closed. The amount of market development funds that they're investing in us, and so us and Sirius are the two kind of key partners that will gain tremendous leverage from the growth in Red Hat sales. So I would say when you look at Red Hat's growth, for a small cap like us to be, you know, one of 13 Apex partners and one of IBM's main partners, the amount of money that IBM and Red Hat are investing in us to sales enable our U.S. sales force, I think it presents a tremendous opportunity for us, both with existing customers and with net new logos as well.
Yeah, Sean, it certainly sounds like a great opportunity. And so they're going to continue, obviously, to deploy resources. You mentioned the MDF funds. Could you maybe break that out again? $2 million, you said, in total, and $750,000, that's from IBM. Is that that's in there right now? And do you expect more to come over the coming quarters?
Yeah, so MDF, that $2 million is in total, not just from IBM and Red Hat. But
right.
It's events with customers. But this is also where we co-invest with them to provide sales enablement of our software. So software pre-sales resources in region. So you know how we've regionalized the East, the Center, the West, and Canada, and embedding those pre-sales resources alongside our sales forces so that they're knowledgeable about these solutions. That's where we're co-investing with IBM and Red Hat on that. And again, like I say, those are significant dollars, and yes, I do expect those to grow based on our successes. So as these initiatives result in larger sales, they will continue to reinvest with us. It's always, you know, based on performance. When you win together, they'll invest more in you.
Okay, very good. Moving over to M&A, I don't think you mentioned in the script Nordisk. If you wouldn't mind commenting on what you're seeing there and talk about maybe what they may bring to the cross-selling opportunities to some of the other Converge entities.
Yeah, so Nordisk, because we closed it just after the quarter, we were kind of conflicted about, you know, how do you mention it as a subsequent event, I guess. They're a tremendous acquisition for us on our West Coast. We've got operations in Silicon Valley and L.A., which are extremely expensive locations. By having Nordisk kind of in the Portland and supporting the Seattle marketplaces, it allows us to put resources in a more cost-effective solution. They've got great IBM software and security practices, but we can, as we enable that region, it's really expensive to put people in Silicon Valley and into LA, although there's great customer bases there. And so they help us there, access to the Seattle market, and really strengthening our West Coast.
Right. It sounds like a very good strategy there. I mean, it looks like a good acquisition. You know, moving to the industry, you paid an attractive multiple, I believe, for that asset. There are recent acquisitions that have been happening in the market last week. Presidio got taken out. I'm wondering what you're seeing with regards to your opportunities. Is there any change in the number of, you know, firms that might be looking to sell, thoughts on valuation, and if you could comment maybe on thinking about M&A, what your gaps might look like? Is it geography? Is it product?
So lots of great questions there. So for first, we are, when you look at our gross profit percentage, Insight buying TCM, Insight's like 15% gross profit. Presidio, who is a great company with 7-8% EBITDA margins, the gross profit percentage we have, the numbers don't lie. They say what we are, and we are very unique in this. There are, you know, when you look at the marketplace of, there are very few, there's under $20 billion VARs or IT solution providers. There are 175 or were 175 between 75 million and 200 million of annual revenue. And in that segment, what we're doing is hard. We're buying lots of smaller ones and transitioning them into IT service providers. That's hard. Private equity doesn't do that. What the private equity players love is when you aggregate them up and execute the strategy, then we are an extremely attractive platform to, and again, we've always said, you know, when you get to that $3 billion of size and $100 million of EBITDA, you're very attractive. But even now, when you get to over $1 billion and $50 million of EBITDA, you're also extremely attractive. So I would say the amount of activity that you're seeing in the space around acquisition targets and the multiples being paid, that we are a very cheap, company, when you look at our valuations, that by comparison, when you look at our numbers, our gross profit percentages, our footprint, we're an extremely attractive target.
I agree with you there. The last question for me, and then I'll go jump back into the queue. Is there any way you can maybe comment on the macro environment as you're looking into Q3? I mean, there's been some signals here and there of businesses looking a little bit more cautiously with regards to spending on IT. But is that really a factor for you at the more SMB and mid-market level? And also given, that you're targeting companies that are looking to transition to the cloud and it's very early for these customers. I'm just wondering what you can give us there.
I would not want to be selling into Asia. I would not want to be selling into Europe. But when you're selling in the U.S. in the mid-market and finance and healthcare, there could not be a better business environment for us to be launching this strategy as people move to the cloud. As you know, Gartner and Forrester say people are 20 to 25% of their cloud journey. The amount of opportunity for us is tremendous. Most IT solution providers target large enterprises. And large enterprise, they'll have, providers, they'll go through procurement. When you are targeting the mid-tier, especially healthcare and finance, we're dominating. We are talking to the businesses, and we're the only person at the table. We're their strategic advisor helping them on their cloud journey. That's a really different conversation. So I couldn't be happier, and the growth we're seeing is tremendous.
Great. Congrats, and I'll pass
Thank
on.
You. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you. Your next question is from Bulent Pakdil from Hampton. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Sean, Marianne. Congratulations on a fantastic quarter to you and your team.
Thank you.
My question is around Red Hat. Can you discuss what profit margins relative to the other business lines and other products that you sell? How different is Red Hat? What are the margins there? There was a slight overall profitability or margin contraction in this last quarter. I think you said 4.6 overall. How do you see that playing out in the remainder of the year? What's the impact of Red Hat on that? And can you explain why there's that slight differential?
So just to clarify, our gross profit percentage has actually gone up. So in phase two, and this kind of goes back to Kevin's question, I don't think I answered this, we have been investing significant resources into sales enablement of our software-enabled hybrid IT strategy. The fact that we continue to be this profitable is astounding considering the investments we're making. As I mentioned, with the market development funds from our vendor partners, we co-invest in both events and personnel to enable this strategy. The results of this is continued growth and gross profit growth. We have very, very healthy EBITDA margins. So we're over 4% EBITDA. When you look at some of the companies that have done transactions in this space, the PCM Insight, they're much lower EBITDA percentages than ourselves. And when we get to our phase three and optimizing our back office, you will see our numbers go from 4, 5, 6, 7. The Presidio is kind of the 7-8 margin, which is where we aim to get to. So, So the Red Hat margins, back to your earlier question, we tend to be in the software sales, tend to be higher margins. They're in the kind of 25 to 35% range. When you sell to the mid-tier, you can move up again to the 40 to 70% margins on software as well, more from IBM than from Red Hat. But those are when you're doing specific things around new logos and services. But in general, your hardware tends to be kind of 15% gross profit, services 30 to 40%, software is kind of in that 25 to 35% margin, which can grow in the mid-tier to 40 to 70.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. You may proceed.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining our call, and we look forward to our updating you on our results in Q3. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.